Yeah. I left the city, I've been proud. Treading water that they drown. My head on a swivel. Yeah. It's only really my surroundings. Hello and welcome to episode 217 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. Guys, we got a fun show. We just talked about the NFL Combine, the winners and losers. Make sure you guys go check that out in episode 216. Episode 217, what we're going to do is we're really going to compare this year's class, how impressed we are, what we're going to do with those picks, how we're going to move from, you know, the wide receiver in this class, maybe to another one. Because some of you guys, you know, you're risk averse. Other guys want to go all in a rookie class. Nobody better to chop that up with than my main man, Snoog. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good, Dad. And you know me, I'm all about chasing upside and winning championships, right? I get straight to business. And that late, mid to late first round range in rookie drafts, I'm chasing upside. I'm chasing the Xavier Worthies, the Brian Thomases, and I'm tearing off on that 110 to 112 range. And I'm going, if I need a wide receiver too, I'm going and trading for one, right? You go get your Flowers, you go get your Jordan Addison. So that's how you kind of balance that, chase upside, win championships, and let it roll.
So how do you go about, like, I'm with you, man. For me, 1 through 9, I'm very comfortable drafting. 1 through 8. I kind of want to tear off, and I think that's what everybody's mentality is. But you get into a scenario where, you know, last year, I know a lot of people, I mean, I was witnessing it time and time and time again in my drafts, is people were trading the 110, the 111 for guys like, you know, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, and the 110 ended up being Devon Achane, the 111 ended up being Sam Laporta in some of those leagues. So it's like, you know, it's that family guy skit, right, where we're sitting there and you're like, yeah, but there could be a boat in the box, right? You got that mystery box. That could be a boat. Do you take the boat that might be getting a little bit older, or do you hope there's a younger, newer, shinier boat inside that box? And a lot of our listeners struggle with that. They try to figure out where they need to be, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to kind of go that way, but let's start off up at the top. I mean, the top is pretty easy. I want to go one quarterback today just because we want to talk about wide receivers a little bit more in particular. So I put the poll out there for you guys on Twitter. It's already up over, it's right around 1,000 votes. Marvin Harrison versus Puka Nacua. If you have to choose today, now Puka Nacua, the greatest rookie season we've ever seen. If he was a round one NFL draft capital, he's in the same tier as Lamb, Chase, and Jefferson. You can't debate that anymore. Like, if he was a round one rookie, that's what we'd be saying right now. We're not, because of, you know, what his draft capital was. Right now, if you had to guess, what percentage of Twitter prefers Marvin Harrison over Puka Nacua?
I'd say that it's favored in Marvin Harrison's side.
Oh, it's not even close. It's 65-35. And for me right now, I feel like that's insane. Because as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. is, and yes, you know, he looks like Chase, he looks like Jefferson, he looks like that next elite wide receiver, but Puka's, what, 22 years old and just popped off. So talk to me about the risk here at that. I mean, I think given this, I think you could get Puka Nacua in a second to move on from Marvin Harrison. And I'm not advocating moving on. Yo, Anthony Machka coming back in saying, thanks, Dad and Snoog. You're keeping my never-ending day bearable. Love those kind of comments. Guys, you can make sure you follow us on YouTube and on Twitter, because you can actually, you know, have live comments like that. Like Chris Bears 3420 just said, Snoog, keep up the grind. You know what I mean?
My guy right there. Chris is in like 10 of my leagues that I run. He's the man. So, I love Chris.
I love it. So let's talk about it. Marvin Harrison Jr. does not have a landing spot. Let's say he goes to the Cardinals. Do you prefer him over Puka Nacua? And then I'm going to give you a less desirable situation.
I would if he goes to the Cardinals. Because I would too.
But what if I said the Patriots?
Hold on. I would take probably Puka over him if he went to the Patriots. I'm not. I think Puka Nakua's production ain't stopping. Like he is going to produce at that level. But if he does take a big like a hit next year and has maybe 1,000 yards and maybe a couple of touchdowns, his value is going to drop like crazy, and everyone's going to just be like, oh, he was this good because Cooper Kupp was out. If Marvin Harrison Jr. comes out and puts up 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns, he's a top five dynasty wide receiver regardless because of the name, right? So that's kind of like that market value adjustment that you got to take in mind is like, Puka's the more volatile asset, even though that doesn't make sense at all and it shouldn't be that way, but it's the name, right? It's Marvin Harrison's son. He's a Hall of Famer. He went fourth overall. He's on the Cardinals. He's on the Chargers.
So
like he's going to put
with you. So let's
numbers. So it's
let's
just
play
the name. It's
let's play devil's advocate because I'm always trying to insulate. So let's say you say the risk is on that way. So if I'm a contender right now, and this is something that I'm kicking around, you know, I put these polls out there because I want you guys to look at it and take something from it. So if you can take, if you get Marvin Harrison, I'm a contender, right?
Yep.
And I'm given the 101 and my 25 second for Puka Nacua and your 25 first. Is that enough to make that move the needle there, you know, to insulate that risk? To me, I'm doing that because this is that area where, you know, I think the difference between wide receiver one and wide receiver six in a startup is not that drastic sometimes, where I think Puka Nacua, even if he would just have 1,000 yards, I think he still remains in the top 10 dynasty wide receivers right now. Mm-hmm. He's clearly in the top five, where if Marvin pops off, if Marvin gets over 1,000, he's going to clearly be in that top five. So it's a matter of like, we're buying it.
Win-win.
Before it happens, if you are trying to sell Marvin Harrison, I saw a trade the other day where a guy got the 102 one quarterback, Rashee Rice, and a second. Like, I think those days are gone. But if you're in a league where your guys are just coming out of, you know, they're just like showing up, like, oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. is phenomenal. Malik Nabers is right there. Roma Dunze isn't that far off. And I think Puka Nacua is an absolute stud. We saw what he had there, and I think it just becomes a friendly debate. But if you can get the plus on there, I would be all for it if you can get Puka plus.
I like to look at it too, like this is like, as much as like you want to hold on to that season Puka just had, it means nothing now. Like Marvin Harrison and him are starting fresh together. Mm-hmm. Who outproduces who from here on out is what matters. And if Kyler Murray's throwing the football to Marvin Harrison for the next 5 years, like there's a really good chance that Stafford's 37 years old, like 36, 37 years old, and has a ton of injuries. Like maybe we get another year or two from him where Puka's at a really high level, but he leaves. It's like, all right, now what? Like they're in QB purgatory. What is Puka like in QB purgatory? Marvin Harrison Jr. has Kyler Murray for the next 5 years. He's putting up top 10, top eight numbers. It's like, you got to look at it like that. Cause I don't give a shit if Puka Nacua put up 1400 yards right now, if I'm looking at him and Marvin Harrison on the future spectrum, right? It's cool that he did that and it shows how talented he is. But now you got to compare the prospects side by side for what's coming in the future.
You talked about quarterback purgatory. Nobody's been more of one than Garrett Wilson. So Garrett Wilson or Malik Nabers, Twitter is split right down the middle. It's a 51-49 right now. It's pretty heavily voted on right now. Sell me on your pick out of these two.
I'll sell you on both sides of it. I'll take Garrett Wilson in vacuum today, just knowing we don't know anything about where Nabers is going to go. Nabers goes to a team like the Giants. He's at best a Garrett Wilson in QB purgatory, putting up 100 yards, maybe not scoring too much, getting 150 targets, but it's just empty targets because her offense is terrible. He goes to the Chargers. I'm taking him over Garrett Wilson. So it's that easy. QB play is a massive successor in fantasy football for the wide receiver position. Unless you're like a Devontae Adams where you're putting up 270 points with Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy G. They're not all like that. Garrett Wilson and Nabers are going to be in that. They're going to probably be in that same tier. I probably have Nabers like three spots behind Garrett Wilson right now as of today, but like, all it takes is the Cardinals or the Chargers to just take Nabers, have him be locked into an elite QB for 4 to 5 years. And it's like Garrett Wilson has me throwing him the football there in 2025. And it's like, shit, 170 targets. But it's like, you know, if I was quarterback for the Jets, who I'd be throwing the football to, I'd close my eyes and throw the ball up and say, number five, you better go down and get it. So it seems like that's what all the Jets QBs are doing.
Since 2000, six wide receivers have posted 70-plus receptions and 1,000 yards in each of their first three. They are Amari Cooper, Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Jalen Waddle. Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson are both on pace to do that. You know, and I think people underestimate how good he's actually been with absolutely ridiculously horrible quarterback play.
Worst in the league, and it's not close.
And last year's hype was through the roof because Aaron Rodgers was coming back. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't seen people pushing him up farther than usual because of Aaron Rodgers coming back. And we know Rodgers is going to come back hungry. I think this is the year. I think Garrett Wilson posts 1,300 yards, double-digit touchdowns, and he's starting to approach. If anybody's going to get to that same tier that we saw CeeDee Lamb get into, I think it's Garrett Wilson. I'm firmly taking Garrett Wilson here, but I love Malik Nabers. You know that that's going to be the next big thing. Moving over to the 103, and this is where it starts to get tricky right now. So, like, the first two, they're fun. We're going to say landing spot this, landing spot that. Now we're going to move to the 103. It's Rome Odunze. And this is one where there has been the comp between him and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Who would you rather have? Mine was Jordan Addison. You know, who would you rather have in that area? I think you can insert any guy from that 2023 class. You know, you could say Zay Flowers. You can say, you know, any of those guys that balled out. How close do you have Rome Odunze to Jaxon Smith-Njigba? And then I have it actually. I put as Jordan Addison, who's worth more than JSN right now. Twitter's 80-20 on the Odunze side.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the Odunze side too. And it's not even like a rookie fever thing. I think he's just
– it's not.
He's going to go top 10. I think there's a chance he ends up at 5 for the Chargers, or he ends up at 9 with the Bears with Caleb Williams there and with DJ Moore, right? So I think like you're looking at a floor of like he's hitting that Devontae Smith, T. Higgins type like wide strong wide receiver 2 year where he's 1,000-yard guys getting maybe double-digit touchdowns every now and then.
Did you my screen didn't move for like 30 seconds. Did yours?
I was good. Okay. You're good now though.
Okay. I'm gonna have to delete it out there. I was just like, let's start fresh right from there. Talk about Rome Odunze versus Jordan Addison.
Yeah. I think Rome Odunze is just the superior talent. I think he's going to get a reset button, right? He's a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick. There's a chance he's paired up with Caleb Williams there in Chicago. There's a chance he goes as high as 5 to the Chargers. We don't know what's going to happen. We could see Marv 3, Nabers 4, and Rome 5. Like, that could happen. And I know we saw Chase and Waddle back-to-back. Like, it's going to get interesting. And the league's only getting more and more valuable at wide receiver position. So I think, like, Rome almost gets a guaranteed spot, or he goes to the Titans, right? And he's the clear wide receiver one long term there. So I think you're looking at like a T. Higgins type of like realistic outcome, and you're looking at like a top 8 to 10 wide receiver long term, year in and year out, where he's a 1,200-yard guy and double digit touchdown score. That's kind of that outlook I look at for Marv, Nabers, and Rome. Like, I think their floors, as crazy as it is to say, is like the T. Higgins type, yeah, where they're just really, really good wide receiver twos that you're hoping to make that jump. Just with the thought of them making that jump, they hold their value, right? Like, T. Higgins has been like a fringe wide receiver too for the past 4 years, and like, he still has that value because everyone's like, the talent's there, I know he can get there. It's going to be like that for these guys as well. So the ceiling's there, the floor's there. Those are the type of prospects that you want to take. I think, Dad, that you can make an argument for taking Rome Odunze if he goes to the right landing spot there in the top 10. Over guys like Jaden Daniels, Drake May, if they end up like, I would take Rome Odunze at the Chargers or the Cardinals or the Bears over Jaden Daniels or Drake May if they go to like the freaking Commanders or the Patriots. Like, I would argue that. I wouldn't make that move. Yeah. I would trade back and do it. But if I got pinned, I would make that draft pick.
You and I would be going back and forth on that. I'm the quarterback guy. You're the wide receiver guy. For me, Superflex. Yeah. You know, I have
seen so much crap with like Fields,
yeah,
Trevor Lawrence, like Bryce Young. It's just like, these are good prospects too. They're not chumps.
Yeah.
And then you got like the Trey Lance's, Zach Wilson's.
I think the difference there is, I mean, Justin Jefferson is the wide receiver 1 overall, and he goes to 108. That means there's 7 quarterbacks valued above him. And if you trust your more laurels and what you have, you go after and get those guys.
Landing spot matters so much for QBs.
100%.
Like Drake May in Minnesota versus Drake May in New England is a different spectrum, right?
Absolutely.
You got to look at, or Atlanta. If Atlanta goes up and get Daniels, I'm all on the Daniels train.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to be able to make plays with Kendrick Bourne, right?
Yeah. So it's like, no one. I don't mind Washington because I think I'm low key buying McLaurin. I think Dotson's there. Yeah. You know, like there's some weapons.
Sucks, but it's not a bad spot.
That's a different podcast. Moving over to our fourth wide receiver from the class. This is where we get really interesting. So we just did that podcast on the combine, guys that blew up. One of those is Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. or Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I am blown away at what Twitter says. Twitter is 68% Jaxon Smith-Njigba over Brian Thomas Jr.
Wow.
I am not. I love Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I know you did as well. I know it's nostalgia because about a year ago that you and I were chopping it up about him quite a bit. I loved, let's compare them in college. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a technical route runner. He's fantastic. Brian Thomas is this electric guy that just bursts onto the scene. But I just think Twitter is just overcorrecting here. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba does not have anything close to the same athletic profile of Brian Thomas, who just ran a 4.38, absolutely flying. I'm taking Brian Thomas here because I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba did fall to the mid-20s. What was he, 23, 24?
Yeah, I think he was 20 on the dot.
There's 0% chance that Brian Thomas Jr. goes at that spot in the NFL draft this year. Almost a 0% chance. He is going to go. And you say, well, team need this or that. But if they think you're a special wide receiver, they're going to take you in a certain area. As much as I love Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I think Brian Thomas Jr. should be winning this poll.
I agree. And coming out of college, if they were in the same class, I would have said JSN. But it's like the reset button. You're getting, like, imagine Brian Thomas Jr. 17 of the Jaguars, and he's in that wide receiver one spot where we saw what Trevor Lawrence did with a T. Higgins, with a Justin Ross, but we're getting that at the NFL level where he's that guy. Calvin Ridley had so much opportunity to score touchdowns, and he dropped a lot of touchdowns.
He did.
Didn't get his feet. There was just a lot of miscommunication there. The opportunity was there, which is key. Brian Thomas comes in, capitalizes on that. He's putting up 1,100, 1,200 yards and maybe double-digit touchdowns at some point in his career. JSN can get there too, but it's like the path is a lot harder. He's in Seattle. Geno Smith is a friggin' can. They have Tyler Lockett there. They have DK Metcalf, new coaching staff. There's just so much there, like, even in the way of JSN exploding.
Yeah. I love what you're saying,
because it matters, and this has proven it, right? So
it absolutely does. And there is rumor that they could cut Tyler Lockett, but DK Metcalf's still the wide receiver one there. It's not JSN. It's DK Metcalf. You know, we've seen enough tape there. Where, and everybody's been criticizing me for this, is, excuse me, I am tearing up from Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I don't want to tear down. I don't want to go and try to get a random 25 first and a player that doesn't matter. I'm tearing up because I think if you tear down, there's such an opportunity there to lose. I think JSN could pop off. However, I don't want to be stuck with that where I got what ends up being the 112 for Jaxon Smith-Njigba as he becomes a top 8 dynasty wide receiver. That is still in the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. I just think what you said about, you know, reshifting, what was the word you used?
I forget now.
It's like a re-roll of the dice. You're getting another opportunity. And I think what happens is if you had Treylon Burks year one, you know, who was a mid first round pick, you can still sell him for a late first round the next year. Now we're 2 years into it, and he's going for a fourth. Yeah, he just went after 301 in our startup.
Yeah, I look 14. At it like a blessing in disguise for me, because JSN was a guy I was really high on, right? I liked Jahmyr Gibbs just that much better, where I was taking Jahmyr Gibbs over JSN in every rookie draft class, and that's like almost, I'm like, wow, I'm so like lucky, because otherwise I would have been taking the JSN. And I would have got stuck there with the JSN with the poor rookie season. And then it's like, because I was always, for a while, rookie landing spots don't matter. Talent will always win out, just based off seeing Olave, Garrett Wilson, Drake London. Those guys are just really very good wide receivers, and that's why they're like that. But you look at Rashi Rice, Jaden Reed, like Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, all these guys that are good wide receiver prospects. But they got such good landing spots where their opportunity was going to be there year one with good QB play. And that helped them thrive onto the scene at an early start in their career, which we, like Quentin Johnston, man, he got the opportunity and it was there and he was going to produce. He just can't catch the damn ball. So that's his issue. Like all these rookie wide receivers produced better than JSN almost. Mm-hmm. So it's like JSN is not the worst
argue.
Spot you could have asked for out of any of them.
At this point, I have Flowers, Addison, Rice all over him. Some people get a little bit like Reed's in that same divorce. I think JSN's more in that Reed territory. than he is those other three wide receivers right now.
Yeah, I think it's just a re-roll with Brian Thomas there. I just think,
I'm with you.
How do you not take a 6'3 wide receiver that's 210 pounds and just ran a 4.33 and jumped out of the gym in the top 20 of an NFL draft? And he is coming from a team where he just led college football in touchdowns at 17, had a phenomenal breakout year, started playing football in 10th grade. If he slips into that late first, or if, I don't think there's a chance he slips into the early second, but like Metcalf, AJ Brown, those guys slipped. And those guys were like locked and loaded first round picks for a lot of people. Like if that happens, people are going to get the steal of the draft. And I think that you got to look, like, imagine he goes 24 to Dallas alongside CeeDee Lamb in that Brandon Cooks role. He goes
10 touchdowns year one.
Jags. The Colts 15 in the Pittman role. It's just like with Shane Steichen, it's like a win-win for him. So it's like, you just got to go with that. Especially today, the hype, the build is around Brian Thomas. And we're looking at it from a perspective of where that rookie pick is too. It could be Rome. It could be JJ McCarthy who goes top 10. That eighth spot is, like I said, Dad, takes one person to mess up that seventh pick and you end up with Rome Odunze or JJ McCarthy or Brian Thomas Jr. or maybe Daniels or Drake May if one of them goes to a bad landing spot. So you want to be in the top 8 to 9, and you'll probably get lucky in some leagues with a person that slips that you're really like, wow, I didn't think I'd get Brock Bowers here. You never know, so.
We talk a lot about insulated trades, and at running backs was something that I hit on for years and for years after year. It was like 2020, I took Jonathan Taylor. Then I traded him for Najee Harris plus a first. And then I traded him for Breece Hall plus a first. Then I traded him for Gibbs plus a first. And when you get down to it, it's like, dude, you just got Jahmyr Gibbs and three firsts, you know, and in different years.
That's how you win, baby.
That in the wide receiver class, if you're moving off Puka Nacua, okay, and you had a very valid point, is Brian Thomas – and a random 25 first enough, or does it have to be a Odunze?
I think it has to be a Odunze.
Would you do that?
Think,
107 and a random 25 first for Puka Nacua. Smash or pass?
Let's play hypotheticals. If I know he's going where I think he's going to go, in that top to the Colts, to the Jags, maybe to Denver at 12 or any of those spots, maybe it's the Saints at 14 or he goes 20 to the – or 24 to the Cowboys, give me that side. But if he goes to just like a like the Bengals and he's like playing a year behind T. Higgins and then the production's not there, it's like, all right, what are we doing here? Maybe I'll go with Puka there. But I think that people are going to be shocked how good the 25 class is going to be. There's going to be no quarterbacks, but it's going to be like 2022 where there's a boatload of talented stud running backs. And then you got like four good wide receiver prospects that are going to make that draft actually good from like pick 1 to 10. It's going to be another year where it's like a Breece Hall RB1 or Bijan RB1, but
it's a cheat code because that's
not
why
it's going to be as good as this one in 2023, but it's going to be a good class.
In 2023, I was punting and doing rebuilds everywhere, knowing that I was going to fill in the cracks with Gibbs and Bijan, and I won.
Yeah,
three teams that were rebuilds. This is that year again where next year we're going to get some of those running backs that are going to fill in the gaps that are going to be league winners. The next one, Snoog, you know, the wide receiver 5 in the class for me is Xavier Worthy. I put Xavier Worthy versus Jaden Reed. Who do you think won this one?
Probably Reed, but it's easily Worthy.
He won 60-40.
Reed was one of my favorite guys in that class last year. I was a big Reed believer. I loved the tape. I was shocked when he went round 2. Just like I was watching it with my best friend in the draft, and he was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe they did." I got the notification early, and he was like, "This is a guy you love, but I'm so shocked he went this high. Like you're not gonna believe it." I didn't even think it was Reed. I thought he was a round 3, round 4 guy, and it was Reed. And I was like, "Wow, he went that high. He went second round." So he's a guy that I was shocked about, but. Man, 4.21 speed. Forget the speed. Say he ran a 4.35 like we thought. Nuanced player, elite yak player, profile strong, early breakout. He was on a team. Texas produced NFL talent like a gumball machine. Like they just spew NFL talent out the past 3 years. You got Bijan, you got Jordan Winnington, who was in the combine this year, Keelan Robinson, who was in the combine this year. You have Jonathan Brooks, who's arguably people fighting for the RB1 in this class. You have guys like Adonai Mitchell, who came in, Jatavion Sanders, who came in. Xavier Worthy was arguably the best one out of that group. Don't forget Roshan and Bijan Robinson either. Those guys caught passes. So it's like the fact that Worthy every year, Casey Thompson, Hudson Card, Quinn Ewers didn't play as well as we all thought he would. Worthy showed up, put his football uniform on, went on that field, played football, and dominated. That's the type of player I look for in rookie drafts, that high ceiling. The 4-2-1 was just a cherry on top. That was like, I got my sundae. Where's that cherry? I need that cherry on top before I eat that sundae. Waiter comes over, throws the cherry on top. There you go. There's that Xavier Worthy 40 times. So give me that upside all day. I think you can make an argument of putting him over Brian Thomas. I think they're like a 4A, 4B. I think landing spot will help shape that up. But they're both fantasy football potential machines, in my opinion.
The question for me, and right now, I mean, expert analysis, I love that. I have Worthy right now in one quarterbacks as my number 7 overall. I have him in Superflex as my 9-10, debatable. My question for you is, I have Brian Thomas 5, Caleb Williams 6, and Xavier Worthy 7. Is Caleb Williams in a one quarterback league? Is he worth more than Xavier Worthy, or is that a little bit of a stretch? I feel like he's definitely worth more than Ladd McConkey or Jaden or Adonai Mitchell. But Worthy, I think, is debatable.
I've never played in a one quarterback league, so I don't even know how it's valued. So many people have asked me these type of questions, like one QB this, that, like, do I take Caleb here? Or do I take Jane Daniels here? It's like, shit, I don't know. I don't know the answer to you, but I know it's
you're too young to know about one quarterback league.
I'm like, just take the wideouts, man. I'm doing it in super flex, so do it in one QB. Like, if that's what I'm doing. I look at this class like 2021, right? Like Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, elite prospects. We knew what they were. They got elite draft capital. You were getting those guys anywhere from 107 to 112. And people were taking Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, all those Fields, Mac Jones over them just because of draft capital, not because of how talented they actually were. Fields should have went over them. But what were we doing with Zach Wilson and Trey Lance? Like, come on.
Yeah.
North Dakota State. You're going to take him over Devontae Smith, who won the Heisman? Come on. I'm not the fool that's doing that this year. We're locked and loaded, baby. Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze.
He's just getting
I'm not going to have to worry about what quarterback busts because I ain't going to draft one.
Here's where the disconnect is a little bit between late first rookie capital versus late first rookie players. So now we get into an area. We just crossed that line for me. Where, you know, I think J.J. McCarthy and Superflex is going to be worthy in this area, you know, that 7-9. But then we get into this area here, and now we got to start thinking a little bit, you know. Is it going to be – I ultimately think once we get into this area, there's going to be running backs, which is going to change the landscape at all. But let's say right now there aren't any, and we're looking at Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, and then you have veterans like, you know, in this area, potentially Deebo Samuel, George Pickens. I think I like both the veterans better than both of these prospects. What about you?
Yeah, I think those. Like, I think once you start to get to that tier, because just remember, it's landing spots are just like so much for how the market will sway these players. Like, all it takes is Ladd McConkey to go to like a bad situation where he's the third option and right away, and it's like, ugh, there's such a tough path for him to get the targets. Like in that JSN situation. And it's not even like he has the pedigree of a JSN, right? It's like he's just getting gassed up right now. But if he goes to that tough situation, it's like you got to make that tear off trade to the George Pickens, to the Jordan Addisons, to the Zay Flowers, to the T. Higgins, to the DKs. Like, you know, these guys are strong wide receiver twos with upside. You hope that Ladd McConkey is that. So it's like, I think Ladd's a great player. Like I said in the last pod, good route runner, elite in short area quickness. He ran a 4.3 40, like 4.39. I don't think he's a guy that's going to be a guy that can go out there on the outside and consistently win versus press coverage, versus man coverage, and win downfield and score 12 touchdowns. But I think he's a guy that could be 80, 90 receptions and maybe 1,000 yards as a ceiling in the slot, right? I would rather just take DK Metcalf, who's already doing that, already getting you 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns and putting up a top 20 season. It's just like, that's if you want to win, if you want to get in this reoccurring cycle where you're just drafting rookies and then you're drafting rookies again and then you're drafting, like, if you want to win, don't make every rookie pick. Turn some of those guys into your Amari Coopers, your Devontae Adams, your Stephon Diggs. Go win yourself some money, because that's what I'm going to be doing, right? I'm going to pick and choose who I want, and then I'm going to avoid the guys I don't want. And that's what separates people in fantasy drafts, right? Like, some people loves everybody, and then that it's tough for them to make their decision. And they'll pick 15 guys with their one-year punt build instead of starting to turn these guys into the Kyler Murrays or the TJ Hawkinsons who already tore their ACLs,
and,
right?
you got to know when to cash in with that. I mean, I have a couple major analysts that poke fun at me all the time on Twitter about dad's always talking about rebuilds, but it's a process. And then you learn when to cash them in, right?
Yeah.
So you know when to take rookie fever and someone really wants, you know, Brian Thomas at 108 and you get, you know, you give up 108 in a late 25 second for Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, T Higgins, you know, Drake London. You start to get those prospect profiles that are a little bit more elite, then that's how winning is done. You start to move yourself into veterans. You know, it's all about accumulating assets. You don't have to. I had another guy yesterday show me, you know, I put my Thanos roster up there. Guy had all 10 of his super flex 1 through 10. He's like, it's going to be fun drafting all 10. No, you don't have to. You start to cash in, you know, you start to pick up different players, pick the top couple, and then make people want to get in there. Yeah.
And all my punts, that's what I was doing. I took Gibbs, I took Bijan, and I was like, do I need to take a quarterback? Do I need to do this? I ended up with a lot of Stroud because it was just falling to 106. All right, thank you. Easy, low risk. You guys can go ahead and take Richardson and Bryce at 102. Stroud just was the faller, so I was drafting a ton of him. He was also my QB1 in the class, just from an NFL perspective, especially. So it was like I pick and choose kind of with quarterbacks, like who I love and who I don't love. Don't get risky, though. Like, imagine you picked all 8 picks of your first round last year. You end up with Johnson, Bryce Young, JSN, and it's like those are players you could have turned into, like the Chris Olaves. You know, so you're missing out a lot of value. You got to be able to pick and choose. Yep. You have to.
And that's what we're trying to do here today. Let's talk a little bit, keep trade cut. Let's just have a little bit of fun. We're going to go Malik Nabers, AJ Brown, Chris Olave.
Keeping AJ Brown. I'll go AJ Brown. I'll cut Chris Olave and I'll trade Nabers. That was tough to do, but I think Nabers is going to get a better landing spot than poor Chris Olave over there, stuck with Derek Carr.
I know. I want him to. We talked about it.
They got the 49ers passing game coordinator. They have a new offense coming, so you can make an argument. I think those guys are back-to-back for me. I think A.J. Brown's just the clear winner there. I think I'm going with him.
Nico Collins, DK Metcalf, or Rome Odunze?
Give me Rome. I'll trade Nico and I'll cut DJ.
Yep. I think Nico has a little bit more value and I'm totally with you on that one.
It's tough with Nico just because he might not be on the Texans. Like, they might not pay him next year. So it's like, you know, so it's a tough window there for him. But
all right, now we'll get a little bit more spicy because we're gonna go Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
Brian Thomas Jr. and Drake London.
Oh,
yeah, I threw that last one in there just to make it. Drake London.
I'll keep London.
You know I love London, but some of the trades that I've been seeing for Drake London are we're assuming that Patrick Mahomes is going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Answer the question, and then I will who you're going to keep and cut. And then I'm going to start talking a little bit about some of these London trades because I put a tweet out there, and, I mean, people are trading for him everywhere, and some of them are pretty heavy.
I think they have pick 8. They're going to probably – either get a quarterback or a good something to that team. And I think they're in the market for like a Russ, Fields, Kirk Cousins. I think Drake's going to finally get his quarterback this year. I'll keep Drake. I think he's just the safest player, highest floor out of there. And he still has the same similar ceiling, right? He's still a guy that could be 1,200 yards, hit that double-digit touchdown range. I think I'll probably trade BT and I'll probably cut Worthy there. But I think that you're getting close to a tier with those guys, right? I think Drake's above him. I think he's probably more closer to the tier above. But I think Thomas and Worthy, there's a world like if, like I said, Jaguars take him and then Worthy ends up on the Cowboys. Like, I think you could argue those guys with Drake. So it's interesting. But
I didn't intend for the pod to go this way, but let's go on a Drake London tangent here. My boy MJ, that's at MJFit35, awesome guy on Twitter, just got offered JSN for London straight up. I said, yeah, that's a pretty good deal. Let's talk about it a little bit. We talked it through. We got it was JSN in the 106 or London in 112. So he wanted JSN instead of London. But I was like, getting JSN in 106 versus London 112.
No brainer.
That's the kind of moves you want to make. A 2 for 2 where you move that 12. No one's giving up the 106. It's just not happening. The 5 and 6 are almost unobtainable. But if you can get that kind of flip in there, that's how you, you know, you constructively trick the other team of thinking they want a guy a little bit more than another.
Yeah.
This one here was kind of fun. Sent in from DA Dynasty, Drake London in the 101 or Bijan and the 108. I said that you killed that, man. Like this is a super flex. No, wait, this is one quarter. No, a super flex. I mean, he absolutely killed that.
Yeah.
If you can cash in on that kind of one. Next one, Pickens in the 207 or Drake London. To me, I think that's a smash for London. You know, I like Pickens, but I think that kind of moves you in the right area.
Pickens had just as bad QB play and had a better year. But, yeah, London's definitely a better player, more complete, just a better prospect, better player in general. So I just go with London there.
Yeah, the great trade there by Ryan Harper. Sage of Monticello, he got Drake London for Jaden Reed in the 210. Smash. All day.
Like, London, yep.
Yeah, I think Reed had a great year, but I think that kind of puts you in the right area.
Some people are sick of Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
They're just sick of it. They want him off their team. They don't want to keep waiting, right? So that's why you got to take advantage of it because you're not the waiter. Now you're in fresh start, just getting London in a trade, and he gets Kirk Cousins, and he puts up 1,300 yards. So the type of move you want to make.
ASAP Cohen said Jordan Addison in a second or Drake London in a third. Now this one made me think a little bit.
I'd go with London.
So yeah.
I'm not the biggest Addison guy. I just think they have no QB as of today, and it's Jefferson, Hawkinson, and him. It's just like, I don't know.
I'm starting to come around. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was looking at things. The 4 weeks where we had a healthy Kirk Cousins and we did not have Justin Jefferson, he was the wide receiver 4 overall, 20.3 fantasy points per game, 5 touchdowns, 8 targets. There's you know, chances are Justin Jefferson re-signs. But yeah. I think we're all keeping him in that same area because we feel like he's not, you know, like Addison won't be the wide receiver one there.
Yeah.
I think he's the perfect complement, like a T. Higgins, like a Waddle. But I think if it's a second round, I'm going to take Addison in a second over London in a third, if that has any chance of being mid or better, you know. And I love London, but I'm okay with Addison there. Let me just pull up a couple more because these are, I mean, I put this out there and I got 24 trades within a matter of a couple minutes. You know, the guy said he gave up Kamara and a late 25 first for London. What do you think of that one?
London all day.
This guy, Dynasty Dean, said he just got 2 mid super flex 25 first for Drake London. That's a smash.
I'll take that.
Yeah, like I would sell in a heartbeat for there. Here's a fun one. Drake London in the 105 or AJ Brown and a mid 25 second.
I'd take London.
I do too. And I think that's again, how you get the 105, right? Is like you have to take a guy like an AJ Brown, like a Puka Nacua. You have to do that and try to believe in a player because that's the only way you're going to get in there.
Imagine that's neighbors, which it probably will be in a lot of leagues, especially in the leagues.
Most leagues.
Used to not take quarterbacks that go high in that range. So you'll get lucky.
Alex the Gravy asked 110 straight up for London. I have him valued at 108. You could argue
like 108, 107 ish. Yeah.
I would not take him over Roma Dunze again, given where he's going to go. Now, London's super young. He's 22 years old. So, I mean, if a Dunze goes to a poor situation, yes, I think this is the where I say London's worth the 107 to 108 at the moment. I think if a Dunze goes top 10 and he goes to the Chargers, he goes to the Bears, he goes, then he's above London because London has not popped off for 2 years. It's like your re-roll there again.
Yep.
This one, guy gave up Devonta Smith and a 26 first. I still prefer Devonta Smith over Drake London.
It's Smith and a first for London?
Smith and the first, yeah. I'd take Smith over London. Charbonnet, the 201 and the 204, or London and Brian Robinson?
I'd take Brian Robinson over Charbonnet, and I'd take London over the picks easily.
Correct. That's how
I think Charbonnet is just a roster clogger, an expensive roster clogger.
Hey, it's a roster clogger over here, huh? The next one was Drake London and Tajay Spears in the 112 in a one quarterback.
London.
That one's close. Like the 112, I feel like maybe you get a scenario where Adonai Mitchell goes there. I like Spears a lot, but I think London's in that area. Ramondre Stevenson and Drake London, or Josh Downs, the 109 and a 25 second.
London.
I'm low-key buying Ramondre Stevenson everywhere. So I was like,
yeah.
Drake London.
Like a second.
Drake London or Josh Downs, 25 first and the 212. That's my threshold. I'm sticking with London. Downs there.
I'd go
I'm going Downs there. You get that mid first yet? I don't know. I think Downs is, we were talking about that before. I think he's low-key right there. London and a random 25 first or Trey McBride in the 105.
That one. McBride's
McBride. Side. McBride is just too undervalued in some leagues and other leagues.
I see him. I see him like going over Bowers, and then I see him like so undervalued.
Yeah, he's one you guys want to kick the tires on, depending on what your league is, how casual it is. If you're, you know, the other day I posted my rankings in one of my home leagues, and they said you have Trey McBride as your tight end two. They're like, I'd rather have Kelce. I'm like, oh man, I should have offered that guy something quick. You know, like, dude, we're a full year past that. But, yo, this was fun. I really just wanted to go out there and point where you guys, if you have the 107, that doesn't mean you have to draft who's at the 107. There are options. There are ways to trade out. There are ways to tier up. There are ways to tier down. We're here for that. We do that all the time in our Patreon. We do that in our DMs. We do that literally all day long. I mean, that's what Snoog and I do. We're sitting here cooking up. He's coming up with the prospect profiles. I'm cooking up ideas of how to trade for these guys. And that's why right now is the best time, literally the best time to get into the Smash Accept Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to both of us. You get our content. You get our rankings. We get on-the-clock help. Right now, I mean, that the number is growing daily of how many people are in there. Talking shop. Like, Snoog and I aren't in there 24-7, but that thing is cranking.
It runs itself.
24-7. People are just talking, and then you get access to our DMs. You get to talk to us. At some of the more, you know, higher up tiers, we will do, you know, draft assistance with you, rebuild assistance. Snoog and I have been doing podcasts, you know, and yes, it's not free, but we've been doing podcasts where we'll take an hour out of our time and we will do a podcast just for your league to tell you what you should be doing, how you should be doing it, record it, send it over to you. You have a video, you have, you know, a podcast of your own that's literally yours, you know. So, like, we're here to do whatever you guys want, however you guys want it, the Smash Accept way. Snoog, anything more to add to that?
Yeah, I just want to say everybody that is in the Patreon or that is thinking about joining, all my rankings in there, my dynasty rankings, my rookie rankings, you guys see it first, what way before Twitter does. I can't even tell you the last time I put dynasty rankings on Twitter, but my Patreon ones are always being updated at least every few weeks. And my rookie ones were the first one. They saw my pre-combine rookie rankings before the combine, before Twitter saw them. You guys are going to be prioritized there. So we've even done pods where we do one-on-ones with people. We let them jump on with us and we record it with them and then we send it to them, like Dad said. So we're doing everything we can to kind of give you guys the best experience and welcome you into our community. Because like Dad said, it runs itself. There's 200 plus guys in there talking shop, talking fantasy football, helping you out with your leagues. Whenever you have questions, if you want to post a trade in there, people will vote on it, help you out with that. All you got to do is just join and become part of the Smash Accept community, and we'll welcome you with open arms.
I think that's the cool thing. And when I started Smash Accept and started a Discord, it was like a matter of, you know what? And you've revamped it to another level, but it was like, no one's girlfriend wants to hear about their trades. Nobody's wife. Let's be honest. Yeah, you don't even want to hear about your boy's trades. You don't even care. But in there, it's like, dude, we're all those degenerates where you can just go in there and say, hey, what do you think, Drake London or the 107? Which side? And then next thing you know, 12 people put their response in there. Exactly. You can put polls in there to kind of get an idea, or you can ask, you can tag us. And we actually care. Like, that's the weird thing, right? Like, we care about each other's rosters. No one else in the world does. So thanks again for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process. I think that's why I got a divorce, probably.